Hi, and welcome back to the University of Wales podcast. I'm your host, Rick Palmer, and I'm going to speak to you today about telephone interviews. Telephone interviews are super important because quite often they're used as part of the recruitment plan. And what they're really doing is they've got a lot of applicants that they want to speak to. And instead of inviting everyone to interview, they try and weedle out the good ones from a telephone interview. So that means if you're not on top form for your telephone interview, chances are you might never get the chance for that job. So they're super important. Today, I'm going to just be the one speaking, so it's not an interview today. Hopefully, you will not get sick of the sound of my voice. I will try to keep it concise and clear. We've also got some fake telephone interviews that are quite fun to give you an idea of how to be successful and also how not to do it, because it's always best to learn from other people's mistakes. So let's start. Tip number one. This is part of the recruitment process, so it's quite often contracted out to another agency to complete this. Not always, but sometimes it's contracted out. So you've got to be aware of that. So it might be that they're acting on a certain set of instructions, so they might not be able to be too flexible about what they can do. So if they've given you a time and they've got a certain set of questions, if you ask them to try and change any of that, they might not be able to do that because they've got to work to some strict guidelines. Also, what you've got to remember is no matter whoever is on the phone, even if you really, really hate them, you've got to hide that really, really well. Because first of all, you're not going to be working with that person. Even if they work for the company you're applying to, they're probably in HR. You're probably not going to speak to them that much. But quite often, like we say, it's recruited to another company, so they probably don't even work for that company. No matter if they try and wind you up, if they try and goad you into saying something stupid, just don't react because they're probably testing you for a reason. And if they're having a bad day, don't make it your bad day. Tip two, be prepared. It's so important to be prepared for a telephone interview. Do your homework about the company that you're going to be talking to and be aware of who's going to be calling you. You need, if they phone you and say, I'm calling about the interview, you want to be able to understand which interview they're speaking to you about. Because if you sound like you've got tons of applications all over the place, then you're not going to seem like the most attractive candidate to them. And if they're asking you questions about why you're suitable for the role, but you've not researched the company that much, chances are your answers are going to be a bit basic. So try and make sure you research as possible. Also with being prepared, check that you are sorted in your environment. So if you've got an answer phone message, make sure it's an appropriate one. I used to, when I was at college, have a really stupid answer phone message where I pretended to answer the phone so that people would start talking and then I'd be like, answer phone. It's not even the funniest joke, but I used to do it. Anything like that, take it off because you might just naff the person off that's phoning you and they might not phone you back because they'll think it's a bit unprofessional. Also, warn your friends and your family. So if I was to call you for an interview and someone else picks up and makes a joke, I'm probably not going to be that impressed. And again, make sure they're not in the background making jokes as well. It's the kind of thing that used to happen all the time in uni, but just make sure you're trying to save yourself from anything that's a little bit unprofessional. Okay, step three, or tip three. Not being able to be seen is both a plus and a minus. So think about the benefits. You can keep a lot of stuff with you. So have a pen on you, have some paper to make notes, have your diary available, or make sure you've got your calendar open on your phone so that you can access it really easily. And this way you can react really quickly. And try and use prompts if you're going to use notes. So kind of like cue cards kind of things on a piece of paper, rather than reading off a script, because it's really clear when you're reading off a script. Your interviewer is not going to be able to see what you've got in front of you, but they might be able to hear you, be that with your paper rustling, or if it's just that you're quite hesitant because you're reading and you're trying to get, you know, the gist of what you've written. So make sure whatever your notes are, they're really easy to follow and you can be super quick using them. If you've not organised your notes properly, it's going to be a bit of a mess. So check that you've identified what your key selling points are, who you are, what your brand is, what your relevant skills are that relate to this job in question, and make sure that you're effectively talking about them through the whole of the interview. Also, good notes are company details, who the interviewer is, what their name is, what the job specification is, because they might ask you some questions. And it's quite nice if they phone you and they say, hi, I'm calling about the job, and you can say, oh, hi, is that Rick? Thanks for calling me. Straight away, you've started that rapport, so it's good to have all that information with you. Hopefully, you get a scheduled time, but you can keep this kind of stuff. Just keep a book in your bag, like with some notes in it. That might be the way to do it. Tip four, body language. Sounds stupid, you're obviously not going to be able to be seen, but body language and facial expressions actually do come through a telephone interview. I used to work in a call center, doing like legal advice for people, and the best piece of advice I was given is when you're talking, smile, because people can hear your smile, and it makes you look absolutely psychotic that you're sat on a phone talking with a big grin on your face, but that body language really comes through. Also, if you're going to have a telephone interview, you could, if it's scheduled in and you know when it's coming, you can either be like, laying in your bed, chilling out with your notes all around you, or you can sit up at a table, sit properly, try, be dressed, don't be wearing your pajamas and stuff, and it'll get you into that professional mindset and it'll hopefully really help out. But there's a lot of research to show that body language on a phone call is super important. Number five, tone and expression. People need to get that you're enthusiastic. And something that I've always been told about public speaking is that you almost have to go one level higher than you're used to. So even now, when I'm recording this, I'm literally like away from mirrors because I'd be really cringe if I saw myself being so expressive. But it is important because if we're quite monotone when we speak to our friends and families, because we're getting on with things usually and we're just chatting away on the phone, this isn't that kind of phone call. It's not a chat. This is an actual interview. So you've got to see that you remember that you've got to be really enthusiastic. A good way to do this is actually visualize a person in your head as though you're actually speaking to a person face to face, and it'll get you kind of into that zone. So you want to talk a little bit as though you are like on the radio or recording a podcast, a bit more enthusiastic. And never ever be tempted to eat something, to smoke, to chew gum, because it's going to get a negative. No matter if you think you can be really subtle, we can hear it through the phone call. I spot people eating really badly and it winds me up. So it's a really good thing to avoid. Tip six, research, plan and structure. So think about the content of your answers. Prepare a really smooth introduction, give a concise answer, and don't ramble. I would recommend everyone Googling the STAR technique. It's a really good way to make yourself structure an answer to a question. And something that's really difficult to get used to is that if you start giving an answer where it's say an anecdote or you're talking about some experience, and you're halfway through and you realize you've missed an important point from the start of that story, don't go back and talk about it because you've missed that point now. And all you're going to do by going back is completely derail your story. And I'm going to be like, wait, where am I now? It'd be like watching, I don't know, Memento or something, like a really complicated film. I don't need to have all this stuff going on. I just want to hear your story. And to be fair, I probably can get the gist. So if you've missed a buzzword or you've missed something, then it's probably fine. I'll get the gist of what you're trying to say. It's much better to have structure in your answer. But if you've got your plan in front of you and you've got all the points you want to make, then your structure's going to be fine and you're probably not going to miss anything out. Always be honest as well, because when you get caught in a little bit of a lie or an exaggeration, you start to kind of spiral a little bit and you've got to keep remembering what you said and you think, oh wait, what was that? Did I just say this? Okay, so remember that you've said that. Sometimes what they're going to be doing as well is they might have your CV in front of you. So again, don't lie on your CV because that'd be a nightmare too. Because they'll test you on it. Tip seven, listen carefully to all the questions that are asked of you. Let the person speak and don't try and start formulating an answer as they've started their question. Listen to the whole question and ask them to repeat it if there's a problem. And especially if there's a poor line, you can ask them to repeat anything. They won't mind repeating themselves because they want to hear what you've got to say and they want the best answer to their question. So that's fine. If it is really poor, the line, then you can arrange a callback. It would be a really smart thing to say, I'm really sorry, I can't really hear you right now. I do apologize. I thought I got this all sorted. Would it be possible if I took a number and tried phoning you from a different number? Or maybe if I moved and found a better signal? That's all fine. People are happy that you're taking the initiative and showing that you want to make it more successful. But if you do get the question, make sure you're answering carefully and you're answering the full question and everything you say is relevant. It's going to be a short telephone interview, so keep it all relevant. If you bang on about one point, then the chances are they're going to ask you less questions. So really try to stay on track. And if they ask you a question about good customer service, you give them a question about good customer service. You don't think, well, my customer service question and answer is really good, but I've got a really good other answer, which is about teamwork. So I'm going to try and shoehorn that piece of experience into a customer service answer. Just don't do it. Yeah, it'll be really disappointing if you don't get asked the question about that teamwork. But ultimately, if I've asked you a question about how you can prioritise, for example, or how you manage your workload, and you give me a load of advice on how you're really good at speaking to people, I'm like, well, that's not answered my question. So why have you just told me that? I'd rather if you just said to me, I keep really good diary entries and I use an online diary to calendar to plan my day. That would have been simpler. And maybe it wasn't as good an example as your other one, but it's still answering the question more effectively. So tip 8, speak clearly and make sure the interviewer can hear you. It's nothing worse than when you're inaudible. This can be, don't go on speakerphone maybe. Or if your phone is better on speakerphone, do go on speakerphone. But it's not about your comfort now. You know, you don't do what you're used to and what you're happiest with. Make sure you're comfortable, obviously. But you need to make sure that the person on the other end of the line is getting the best experience. So you're really clear, you're really audible, and hopefully they will hear that really well. Also, everyone out there has got an accent, and a lot of people don't think they have. You've probably guessed that I've got a very strong northern accent. I bring this up a lot. And my job is to go and speak to people in London a lot and around the area. So with a lot of southern accents from different London accents, Essex and so on. And I make sure that I'm consciously speaking a little bit clearer, because if you heard me speaking to my friends and family, you'd think, what the hell is he talking about? But it has to work both ways, because when I'm in those classrooms, people assume I've got an accent, but don't think they have, because they're just around a lot of people with accents. I thought the same thing when I was in college. So if someone maybe with a southern accent came and spoke at my college, I'd think, oh, they've got a strong accent. So be mindful that you do have an accent. And unless the person has the exact same accent on the other end of the line, just try and make sure you enunciate really clearly. As though you're speaking to people with, you know, different language abilities, so they can really understand you nice and clearly. Number 9, relax. It's so important to be relaxed. You get really nervous in these situations, and everyone does, but just make sure you do anything you can to help you relax. So take your time. Breathe steadily. It's fine to have a sip of water. Just mention that you're doing it because they can't see you. Just say, oh, sorry, just going to get a quick sip of water. But try and enjoy the process. Imagine that you're having a nice conversation with someone that you're excited about meeting. So you're really trying to make a good impression. So if you can't answer a question, just make sure your interviewer knows that and just ask for maybe a moment to think about it. Don't just start powering through with answers because you're panicked. Keep yourself calm and relaxed. And it doesn't matter. But the only thing you have to be conscious of, obviously, is if you go quiet for too long, it might sound like the telephone's gone dead, like you've hung up. So if you do have a moment of silence, just say, oh, just one moment, just let me think about that. The sip of water is always a good one, though, if you just need that like split second to arrange your thoughts. Finally, tip 10, take control of the interview environment. This is so important. So quite often you'll be sent an email, read through everything, because there's nothing worse than when an interviewer phones you and it's clear that you've not read the instructions or the job description and things like that. But what they'll often do is book a time when it's appropriate to call you. So make sure if you're at that time that you do everything to limit any distractions. And that's visual distractions for you, because you might be distracted if someone like is walking past a window, or if there's pets in the room. I'd be very distracted if there was a dog in the room. But also audio distractions, so any noises. So you need to, you know, if you're in a, you've got other people in your house, you stick a sign on the wall, on the door of the room you're using that says, please be quiet, I'm in a telephone interview, don't enter. It's fine. Everyone does it. No one's going to be bothered by that. Tell everyone that's in the house that you're going to do a telephone interview, but also be prepared. You know, if you've got a telephone interview at 2 o'clock, don't think, Right, well, I'm meeting my friend at 1 o'clock to go for lunch, so that should be fine as long as we're not too long at lunch. You'll end up rushing and you'll end up taking that call on the walk back from lunch. And that just makes the interviewer think, oh, well, you don't really care about this interview, so I don't know if you'll care about the job. So if what I like to know is when I phone people, I often say that it's now a good time, and then I usually tell them, I'm like, yeah, I'm on my own, I'm in a nice quiet space, so we should have no distractions. My time is completely yours now. So just make sure that you keep it, you keep your environment nice and calm, so you're relaxed. No distractions for you to be looking around, TV off, and there's no noises going on. Sometimes it's not possible, and I'll give you an example. When I applied for this job, which was a long time ago when I started working for the University of Law, I had a telephone interview, and they phoned me, and I was on the train. I live in a small town in the north, and I was on the train into Manchester, and this train line notoriously has no signal for most of it. So I got this phone call, and I was told that this was like when I, since I got the job, I was told, well, your telephone interview was very good, and it was actually by someone who worked for the university. And I just said to them straight away, I just explained everything that was happening. So I said, just so you're aware, I'm sat on a train. I'm more than happy to take this phone call, and if you give me a number, I'll jot it down. And as soon as I get signal, if I do lose signal, I'll call you back straight away. And I do apologize for that, but I'll do, hopefully I can answer your questions and we won't lose signal. And it was on the fly. They were grateful that I was willing to just take it like that and not rearrange it. It saved them a load of admin and bother. So yeah, they found it really helpful. So I would just, explain your situation if you're in a tricky situation. If you're in a loud, busy place, say, oh, just a moment, I'll go and try and find a quiet area. That's fine, I'm just out at the moment. Or if it is like a really crazy place, or you're in, if you're about to go into the cinema or something, you can say to them, oh, I'm really sorry, I actually am just about to walk into something right now. Would it be possible if I could take a number and give you a call back in, 2 hours? Or by all means, please do drop me an email with a better time for you. But I do apologize, but I can't right now. That's fine. My piece of advice there, though, is you should be as flexible as possible. So if it's that you're about to walk up to your friend and you can see them and you're like, oh, sorry, I can't really, I'm about to meet a friend, I'd probably think you could have told your friend, just wait there a minute, I'll see you in 15 minutes, I'm going to take a phone call. That's fine. But if it's something you can't get out of, that's fine. But like I say, if you've had this planned, then you should have made sure you're in a situation where you can take that call. Okay, that is my tips. What I'm going to do now is play you some examples. Now, the funniest ones are always the worst ones. This is fake. This person would make a fantastic telephone interviewee. But I'm going to start by an interview. Now, I'm the interviewer, and we're going to listen to what not to do. Here we go. Hi there. I'm calling about the job offer. Is now a good time to speak? I'm calling from the company. You've applied for a job. I'm just it's the telephone interview that we've emailed about. Is this a good time? It's the time we agreed this. Is it still a good time for you?
I'm really sorry. I'm not sure which job this is. I've made a couple of applications, so.
It's the customer service job.
Oh, okay. I think I know which one it is. To be honest, I'm kind of outside at the moment with my friends. Is this gonna be a long call?
We can probably do it in about 15-20 minutes, maybe. It's the time that we've booked, that's what we've booked in over the email. Should hopefully have got an email to confirm it, and about these interviews and how long they last, and a bit of direction about what we're going to talk about and so on. Did you manage to read through it?
No, it's fine actually. Should we let's just do just give me one sec. Wait. Just not be quiet for 2 minutes, yeah? It won't take long. All right. Hi, hello.
Yep, cool. You're right now. Okay. So, if you start by telling me a little bit about why you want to work for our company.
Because it's like the summer holidays now, I thought it would be a really good time for me to look for some work just so I can make some money, basically, so I can go out and stuff.
Okay, cool. So, is there anything about the company that's made you want to apply to us rather than another company?
Actually, my mum found this job. She found it online because she thinks I need to get a job, basically.
So what do you think why do you think your mum might have thought this would be a good job for you then?
I think she thought because it's a good like entry level place for me to start and just get a bit of work experience, even if I don't stay very long, like just to have a bit of experience, to be honest.
Okay. Do you have any good customer service at the moment? Any skills or any experience you can bring?
Not really. But like lots of my friends, like everybody I know says that I'm really, really nice to people when I talk to people. So I think that's like a really good, really, really important skill that I've got.
Yeah, great. Okay, so if you're at college at the moment, do you do well at college? Is everything going okay there?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm doing law, English, and business studies.
Okay, how's that going?
Yeah, it's going really good. I actually just got an award for public speaking, which I think is really, really good. Like, my mom told me to say it, basically. I think it's a bit embarrassing, but yeah, my mom told me to say it in my interview, so.
Okay, so how did that award come about then?
So I studied business studies, and as part of business studies, we had to go and work for this company for 2 weeks. Oh my God, I can't even remember what company it was. It was that what? It was that. It's quite a big company, basically. The people who worked there said that my interactions with people were really good, and that when I spoke to them, it was like I was really clear and I was really friendly and stuff like that. So for that reason, they gave me accreditation, and I got an award.
Oh, that's okay. That's cool. Very impressive. Okay, right. Well, that's quite a good bit of information to leave with it. Is there any questions you've got for me?
Not really.
Okay. Well, thanks for your time. We'll get back to you with our decision in this next week.
No problem. Thank you so much. Bye.
No
Have a nice
worries.
day.
Thank you a lot. Okay, so what do we think about that? So the things that, I mean, it was terrible, let's admit it. The things that I think were particularly bad were, I mean, the background was noisy. They didn't know who I was when I called, even though this was a set time. So this should have been in their diary and they should have found a safe space, but they should have also been able to answer the phone and not ask me who I am. This is a thing that happens quite a lot, I'll be honest. I phone quite often people of younger ages to discuss like things about careers or university, and sometimes I'll phone and say, "Hi, is this so and so?" And an instant reaction is, "Who's this?" And it's a really bad start to a phone call, and I understand why, because you like it's oh, who's got my number? And sometimes it's an unregistered number, and I get frustrated, and you think it's possibly going to be someone that's selling you something, or it's some PPI scam. I still usually start my phone calls with, "Hi, can you just tell me who you are, please?" And then hopefully that means that, oh, okay, great. If they are a PPI scan, I can go, okay, get off my phone line. I don't want to speak to you, weirdo. But if it was someone, it was positive, I've not started, a bit aggressive. So it's always best to start well. So they also said they couldn't remember which job, and because they'd made a couple of applications. We know that everyone's applying for a few jobs, but when you say that, it's like, oh, well, none of these job applications are that important if you can't, keep it in your mind which one you're supposed to be taking a call for. When she said, "Is this call going to be long?" I mean, that's so rude. I'd be tempted to say, "We don't have to do it if you don't want," but I didn't, obviously. They were messing around with friends, and then obviously said to the friend, "Don't worry, it'll just be a couple of minutes." Just if I would have heard, it'd be best if I didn't overhear anything, but I would have rather have overheard. Oh, this is a really good opportunity, so I'm just going to go and take this call now, and I'll be back in a little while. But hopefully, this is going to be a great opportunity for me. Or, something, just sell it a little bit. Reasons for working for the company. That question was asked, which will be asked of most people, why do you want to work for us? It was mentioned that for money, and don't ever say that, obviously. Why did you apply? Because my mum made me. Again, not a good answer. And it's probably the reason a lot of you are applying for jobs, because your mum makes sure. I did the same thing, but I would advise not giving an answer. And don't tell someone that your plan is not to stay with them. So if you know what are you trying to get out of this job, it was like they just wanted some experience so they could maybe apply for other jobs. It wasn't necessarily to stay at the company. That's never a good answer. You want to build into every interview that your part of your like future plan is to be part of this company. And yeah, you might step away from it. It might be the case that you're only going to be there for 6 months. But if it's a contract that lasts more than a short period, then you need to be enthusiastic about staying with the company. And also remember that you're not entitled to this. A sense of entitlement will make you lose the job interview. So you really want to be able to be grateful and understand that they're going to be the people that give you an opportunity. You're not so there's no well, what can you do for me situation. It is kind of at the moment one way. Once you start working there, you'll be supported and you'll be given so much great stuff. So you've also got to be flexible and understand that that's a really good opportunity. So I'm going to do whatever I can to support you in giving me that opportunity. And they mentioned that they got an award, and the award is actually brilliant. If you can be bothered listening to what they were saying, they told the person that they thought it was embarrassing. And that tells me that they're not that mature, because they shouldn't be embarrassed about receiving an award. They should be really, really proud. And I would have really gone on about this. And they'd forgotten a lot about the award. If they'd had notes, they would have remembered a lot more. But also, you should remember the company that gave you an award. It's a really cool thing that they were given. But yeah, it's something that I would have really gone on about. And at the end, they ended on, do you have any questions for me? And it was, no, not really. They were very polite and nice, actually, throughout the whole call. It was a friendly person, but I usually have a question ready, just trying to have some locked and loaded. Thanks so much for this. If there was to be a follow-up interview, would it be on the premises or is it a video interview? Or, you know, think about something that you might be able to ask that's interesting. And maybe something that's specifically about the company, if you can. And just a little bit of advice is that on this call the whole time I was being very nice to the person. I was just hiding that I didn't like them. I, from the start of this call, was probably never going to offer this person a job. But I was not going to get anything out of being rude. So I just carried on being nice. I was also asking a lot of encouraging questions to really get the depth of what they were trying to tell me. That's not really a good thing, though. If someone's asking you tons of questions to try and find more about your examples, it's probably because you've not described them well enough. So try and make sure that they don't have to ask you lots of follow-up questions about something. If they do, it might just be that they were interested. But in this example, I was only asking questions because it was getting blood from a stone. So now we're going to listen to a good one, and then we'll touch back on what we thought was good about it. Hi there, I'm calling about your job offer. Is this a good time to talk?
Thanks for calling me back. Yeah, now's a really good time to talk, actually.
Brilliant. Do you need a minute to find a quiet space?
Thanks, though. I'm already in a quiet space, so I'm happy to begin now if you want.
That's great. Did you get a chance to read through the email that I sent you?
I did, yeah, thank you. It was really helpful. I've made sure that I won't have any distractions. I've got my personal details ready should you need them. Yeah, thanks.
That's great. So if you could start by briefly telling me why you want to join our company and what's really exciting you about this job.
So I was really intrigued when I came across your job description, and it seemed to cover a lot of the things I was interested in. I think it really plays to my strengths, which are problem solving and customer service. I've got a lot of experience in these, and I know this is where I want to progress. So for me to be able to use these skills with your company, I can see a lot of development. I also have read a lot about what your company does, and I followed it really closely with regards to its charitable work and also the work it does to support local communities. And that's something I'm really passionate about.
Oh, that's great to hear. So now I just want to ask you a little bit about that experience that you've got in customer service. So you say you're interested in this. Can you give me a bit of background on what you've done so far?
So I've had a few jobs in customer service before. My most recent ones was in a well-known supermarket, and I've worked in their customer services department, processing refunds, returns, and on average I would serve around 20 to 30 customers a day. And our main goal was to support their further customer with our business. So to do this, the most important thing to bear in mind is that we should always try and help the customer feel special. Hopefully we are able to action their request completely as they wished to action it. However, in some cases there are more difficult scenarios where we've had to offer them a different solution to the issue. With this, I've always had it in the front of my mind that we should be supporting and encouraging the customer, that I'm doing everything I possibly could and giving them a variety of options so that they could be part of a decision-making process. During my time in customer service, I received 5-star awards in our ratings from customers who had interacted with. It's also led me to receiving the Gold Customer Service Award.
Okay, that sounds great. So I've got a few more questions, if you're happy to continue.
Yeah.
And that's it. Okay then, so what was good about that? Well, very enthusiastic, kept a really good energy level the whole way through. They were planned and they let me know that it was planned, but in quite a nice way. Like, oh no, I read through everything. I found a nice quiet environment. I've got lots of stuff ready. To me, you didn't really need to share that information, but straight off, I thought, oh, this person's really organized. Most other people who are taking these calls probably have done everything, but the fact that they highlighted it to me was quite nice. They were really polite no matter what the whole way through, kept saying thank you for things, kept appreciating my time. Their referencing the job description was really good. So every time they were talking about their skills, they were bringing it back to the job description or bringing it back to the company and what they knew about it. And that makes me think, oh, you know a lot about us, but you're saving me from putting two and two together. You're already giving me the finished product. Your skills are great in this, and you know that our company needs this skill. So that was really helpful. And they know a lot about the company, but not just like, if you're applying to a job at Tesco's, you know that they sell things. They actually knew about the charitable work that the company had been doing, and they were really interested in that. So that was really nice to know that they'd done some research on us. When they were giving the example, they actually discussed tangible evidence. Evidence is such an important thing. So when they were saying about customer service, they were saying about how many people they'd served. They were telling us the different things that they do, the different discrete tasks we call them. So the actual tasks they do on a day-to-day. So if you said, oh, I've got loads of experience, I've been working on a customer service desk for 3 years, that's good, but I don't know if that's, electronic repairs, if it's to do with selling holidays, if you work in a, Tesco's, I don't know what that means. So the fact that this person gave evidence was really, really good. I also think you can tell that this person probably had some really good notes there because everything they were saying seemed really structured, really organized, and they had some really good things to say that probably would have slipped your mind if you hadn't got notes in front of you. And then finally, on this one, I was purposely being unenthusiastic. So I was just like, at the end of every question, right, next question, right, next question. And I think I was a little bit unlikable. It's hard to believe, but I think I was being. And from that, I would say that you noticed that the person I was interviewing was still being really polite, really positive, and really engaging. So for me, that was a massive sell. And the fact was, is that probably I'd just been doing 10 interviews all day. And maybe that was my last one, and it was just I was a little bit, bored of asking the same questions over and over again. So it was just nice that he stayed so enthusiastic the whole way through. So that is the end of the podcast. I hope that's been really helpful to you. Phone interviews are going to be very important, especially in today where we're not having as much face-to-face contact with people. We also have an interview that you can go back to and listen to about video interviewing, which is really helpful. I hope it's been useful. Please do check out our website. There's a lot more resource on there to help you with career and then understanding some of our courses. And we've got loads of really good virtual events on at the moment. So you can book onto those and come and see us. And then hopefully soon we'll be back to face to face and you can actually come and meet us, which would be fantastic. So have a great rest of your day, and thanks a lot.